I want you to take it and go to the book of John, chapter 4. Also, in your bulletin today, there is a set of notes for the message we're about to go through. I'd like you to take that in your hand as well. Last week, we kicked off this 50 Days of Fire series focusing on the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm happy to tell you that all this week, I have been receiving very positive feedback from so many folks about this series, focusing on the Holy Spirit. Lots of anticipation, lots of curiosity. And I realize this is not your typical Mother's Day message, but at the same time, we feel like this is a divinely mandated season that we need to go into as a church, because we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, especially in the days that we live. So these next few Sundays, this is week two of this emphasis, we're going to be focusing on the Holy Spirit on Sunday mornings. Wednesday nights, we are teaching about biblical spiritual language, the gifts of the Spirit, speaking in tongues, lots of questions about those things. We are also doing a 50-day devotional, so all through these 50 days, doing a devotional every day. You see the website on the screen. If you go to the church's website, you'll see the blog option there. Also on Facebook, there's a group, 50 Days for Fire. You can follow along. And then on the back of your bulletin, there's a place for you to sign up if you'd like to receive it by email every day. Don't forget to check your junk mail if it comes there as well. Now, what are we doing? We're trying to help us just build a foundation of faith for understanding who the Holy Spirit is, so that we can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, how many have read at least one of the devotionals on the web or the blog? Great. I want to encourage you, even if you haven't, just go back and do that. Today's, every one of those are filled with just a short devotion about the Holy Spirit and a testimony of people being filled with the Spirit. Now, one more thing before we jump into this. Tomorrow night, we're going to have a filming session for folks who would like to share your testimony of how you were filled with the Spirit. We'd like to capture that on video, because for the rest of the series, we're going to sprinkle different people's testimonies throughout these services so that we can get a better idea and a broader understanding of what that experience looks like, sounds like, and feels like. Okay? So if you'd like to be part of that, just be here tomorrow night at 6. Everybody say 6. We'll give you instructions. It won't take long, and we encourage you to be part of that. There's a prayer on your notes. Let's pray this prayer together. This is a prayer I'm encouraging you to pray all throughout this series, these 50 days. Let's pray it together. Dear Holy Spirit, I need you in my life. I want to know you better. Show me who you are. I need your help in my home, my family, my relationships, and in my church. Please fill me with all the power and all the gifts that you have. Make me more like Jesus. Amen. I mean, that's your real prayer. That's our heart, and that's our prayer. Last Sunday, we asked for a survey of some questions that people had about the Holy Spirit. And I received multiple pages of those questions. But let me highlight a few of them, because it's going to set the tone for what we're going to share today. Here's one question statement was, I have a great deal of negative experience around the topic of the Holy Spirit. I am not, in all caps, N-O-T, I am not interested in speaking in tongues. I recognize it as a gift of God, but have been very turned off by it. Another question or statement said, I really don't understand what the Holy Spirit is exactly. I'm not sure what it is to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Another person wrote, just really don't understand what all this is about. Another person said, I've been baptized in water. I don't know if that means I'm baptized by the Holy Spirit. Here's another question. Is it true if you do not have or get the Holy Spirit that you're going to hell? Another question, is receiving the Holy Spirit necessary for salvation? And then one more question among the many that were sent in. It says, I have seen extremes of the charismatic and Assemblies of God movements on the Holy Spirit. I would like to see and praying for more of a balance. And that is where we're going today. We're going to be talking about balance between the Spirit and the Word. That's today's topic, is the Spirit in the Word. Now, let me kick it off with a story. Last weekend, our church hosted the Great Lakes region of the Junior Bible Quiz Tournament. So we had 20-some teams from 6 different states here in our church. And Junior Bible Quiz is a program where kindergartners through 6th graders learn 576 questions about the Bible, about, you know, from Genesis to Revelation, and part of which includes questions about the Holy Spirit. And so I was talking to one particular pastor whose son was here. They brought a team from a Baptist church. Now, the Junior Bible Quiz program is predominantly Assemblies of God, but there are other churches who take part. And he said the reason that he loves the program is because it helps to catechize their kids. I loved it when he used that word, because we understand the word catechism, don't we? And he says, but there's about six questions we don't like. The ones that have to do with the baptism and the Holy Spirit. And I certainly understand where he was coming from, because they don't teach or accept that. But that gives us a starting point for us to understand why this message today is so important about the Spirit and the Word. Because how many know we can't go to the Word of God and only apply to us what we agree with? We have to go to the Word and say, the whole of Scripture has something to say about all of this. Somebody say amen. Okay, so let's start with John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. Jesus said, true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. How many have heard that verse before? Now, in this verse, Jesus is explaining the nature of the kingdom of God, isn't he? He's giving us a picture of what the kingdom is. The kingdom is spirit and truth. Do you see that? He says, if you're going to worship me, you got to worship me in spirit and truth. The kingdom is about spirit and truth. Now, we know the Spirit was talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is God, correct? But what is truth? What is that part of the kingdom? Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. So Jesus is saying the nature of the kingdom is the Spirit and the Word. Okay? The nature of the kingdom means it's equal parts Spirit, it's equal parts the Word of God. Now, how many know we get into trouble or cause confusion when we get those two things out of balance? Now, that's the basis of this message. Because when we put too much emphasis on one or too little on the other, the difficult things can happen. Some folks fall on the side of the Spirit. You know, Pastor, you know, I just want to feel the Spirit of God. When I come to church, I want to feel the Holy Ghost. I want them Holy Ghost doodads coming on. But some people talk that way. They do. You know, I just want that experience, that emotional impact in my life. You know, I don't necessarily, if the pastor doesn't preach, that's okay. I just want the Holy Ghost, you know. I heard somebody say a long time ago, emotion without devotion is just a bunch of commotion. But emotion with devotion produces locomotion. Now, there are other folks, matter of fact, history is filled with people who started out with great spiritual gifts, but because they didn't emphasize or prioritize the Word of God, they got into gross error. Right? History is filled with those folks. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 22, verse 29, Jesus said to the Sadducees, you are mistaken, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. Now hang with me. It's going to get deep here in a minute, but this is pretty simple. Jesus said, listen, the nature of the kingdom is spirit and truth. Jesus says, Sadducees, you got it wrong because you don't know the Scriptures and the power of God. Remember, the Sadducees said, we only want the Word. We don't want to believe in the resurrection. Are you following me? He says, you're going to get it wrong if you don't have both parts, both natures of the kingdom in your walk with God. You see that? Because there's other folks that say, we only want the Word of God. Just preach the Word. Leave out the emotion. You know, I don't need preachers spitting on me. I don't need anybody speaking in tongues, you know, people running around or anything like that. Just give me the Word, the Word, the Word. We don't need the Holy Spirit, Pastor. The only problem with that is Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Show me a believer or a church that only does the Word, the Word, the Word, and I'll show you people who walk in condemnation and the weight of sin all over them. Why? Because the letter kills you. But it's the Spirit who gives you life. Does this make sense so far? So here's what we're going to do today. It's going to be a bit of a different style of message that you've heard before, because what we're going to do is we're going to go through the whole book of Acts twice in 30 minutes. You know, that was the same reaction I've received all three times today. Now, here's what we're going to do. The first thing, we're going to play both sides here. First of all, we're going to look at the book of Acts, and we're going to de-emphasize the Word of God. We're going to come alongside those who just love the Holy Spirit, love the emotion, love the power of God, but we don't necessarily need the Word of God. So we're going to look at that, and then we'll come back and we'll go through it again, except this time we'll de-emphasize the Holy Spirit and just do the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. Okay? Are you with me? So let's start, first of all, let's go through the book of Acts, and let's de-emphasize the Word of God, okay? The book of Acts is a lot of times called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the day of Pentecost, miracles, signs, wonders, right? And so let's do all that, and let's read the stories, and let's read these accounts, and let's de-emphasize the Word of God in all of these situations. Now, some of you are saying, why would we do the book of Acts? Well, the book of Acts is the story of the birth of the New Testament church, and truly is the pattern for all churches, right? So if it's truly the way we're supposed to pattern our own lives, our own walk, then that's why we're looking at the book of Acts. So let's look at chapter 1. In chapter 1, we have Jesus has been resurrected. He ascends into heaven. He says, go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. So here in chapter 1, you find 120 in the upper room. And Peter stands up in verse 15 through 21. And he just says, guys, he goes, it is written that another has to take his office. And so as a result, they followed the Word of God and they replaced Judas with Matthias. But how many know if you don't want to emphasize the Word of God, you take the Word of God out of the situation, there is no 12th apostle to replace Judas. Are you with me so far? Let's go to chapter 2. Chapter 2 is the day of Pentecost, right? The Pentecostal chapter. I love Acts chapter 2. Holy Ghost, tongues and fire and wind. Yeah. So that's what happened, Acts chapter 2. But then in verse 14... the Bible says, Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. Now, this was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, here's what happened. Power of God's poured out, just like you like it. And as a result, big crowd gathers. And then Peter stands up, and what does he preach? This is what Joel said. A little bit later, he says, this is what David said. What is he doing? He's preaching the Word of God from the Old Testament. He's sharing the Word of God with them. As a result, 3,000 people get saved. Remember the scripture said they were cut to the heart and they said, what must we do to be saved? And 3,000 of them get saved. But you know what? We don't want the Word of God. We just want the Holy Spirit. Then you don't have Peter's message and you don't have thousands of folks finding Jesus. Do you see that? Listen, we would only be a crowd gawking at signs and wonders and people who are acting like they're drunk. Because that's what they accuse them of. Right? But let's keep going. Chapter 6. Chapter 6 is the story of Stephen. Okay? Chapter 6, verse 8. Now, Stephen, a man full of faith and power. Now, don't miss that. He's full of faith and power. Where does faith come from? Faith, Romans 10 says, faith comes by hearing the Word of God, and power comes from the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, right? So Stephen was a man full of faith because of the Word of God. He was also full of power because of the Spirit. The Spirit and the Word. Do you see the balance there? I said, do you see the balance there? The Bible says he did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia. These men began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against his wisdom or the Spirit by whom he spoke. It implies that they would have been able to stand up against the Spirit, but not the wisdom in the Spirit. You see, Stephen's qualifications for ministry was that he was a man of faith and he was a man of power. If you take one of those out of the way, you don't have the qualifications for New Testament ministry that we see right here. I mean, you're seeing this so far. Let's go to chapter 7. See how fast we're going through the book of Acts? You thought this was going to be a 90-minute sermon. No way. All right? Chapter 7 is Stephen's response to the crowd when they begin to argue with him. Okay? So all of chapter 7 is Stephen's storytelling of the Old Testament and the story of the Jewish people's life. And so what's he doing? He's preaching the word. He says, here's what Moses said. Here's what David said. Here's what all you did. And so he just recounts the biblical story of the Israelites. And so, and how many know all of that is true? So Stephen is preaching to these Jewish people, and he is displaying an incredible knowledge of the Word of God. All the way up to the part that he says, you are like your fathers, you always resist the Holy Spirit. Well, that ticked him off. I'm not sure that Stephen should ever be your preaching instructor, okay? Because bad things might happen. But as a result of his sermon, the Bible says, verse 54, they were cut to the heart. And instead of repenting, they got mad. How many know when the Spirit of God convicts you, you got two choices. You can get ticked off at the preacher and the church, or you can just yield your heart to the Holy Spirit and get right with God. Every single time. These guys chose to get mad, and as a result, the Bible says, they picked up stones and they stoned Stephen. They killed him. Okay? But we only want the power of God. We don't want the word of God. Guess what? Then you don't have Stephen's message. You don't have his preaching to these people. And as a result, there's no riot. There's no stoning of Stephen. And oh, by the way, there was a man who was watching, who was standing to the side watching, whose name was Saul, who eventually becomes converted to the apostle Paul, who later testifies that one of the biggest things that played a role in his salvation was the martyrdom of Stephen. You take the word away, you take Stephen's sermon away, you take the reaction away, you take away the guy who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. Do you see the importance of the word of God here? Now, you may be asking yourself, Pastor, what does this have to do with my life right here, right now? Well, let me give you an illustration. This week, I read an article in USA Today by Thomas Rainier. He's the director of Lifeway Research. And here's the results of his study. He said 72% of millennials consider themselves more spiritual than religious. Now, millennials are people who are under the age of 30. That's the latest name that they give for folks under the name of 30. There was Generation X and there's Generation Y. Now you're millennials, okay? And they're saying that 72% of them consider themselves more spiritual than religious. Now, what does that mean? 67% of them don't read the Bible. But they love spiritual issues. They love exploring the supernatural. They want to know the mysteriousness of the world. Look at what they're watching. Listen to what they're listening to. It's supernatural. It's otherworldly, but yet they're not going to the Word of God to find the answers for it. Are you hearing me? Matter of fact, one of the key findings in the survey was that many were unsure Jesus is the only path to heaven. Half say yes, half say no. Now, what I'm telling to you is this is very important to us and relevant to us today, because we have a generation who's hungry for the supernatural but doesn't understand the importance of the Word of God. And guess what? The good news is that when the Spirit of God is poured out, we have a generation that will come to it. They want the power of God. They want the mystery. They want the supernatural. But we have to give them the Word of God, otherwise they'll get off track. Somebody say amen. Chapter 8 is the story of Philip. He's another deacon, just like Stephen. And in verse 26, matter of fact, can I read it to you? Of course I can. Amen. What are you going to do? Get up and leave? Well, I hope you don't. All right? Chapter 8. Let's read verse 26. This is a great story. Philip, chapter 8. Matter of fact, I'll come down. Now, if you don't have a scripture or a Bible, just listen real close. This is a great story. It's got Star Trek in it and everything. All right? Now you're listening. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, this is a very important dude, had charge of all her treasury. He came to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him read in the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Now, that's straight from Isaiah 53. Okay, so he's reading this. So the eunuch answers Philip and says, I ask of you, whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. And as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. How many know when you give your heart to Jesus, you might as well just go ahead and get baptized? Right? And when they came up out of the water, here's the Star Trek part, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. And he was found somewhere else in another place. Now, what are we saying? Okay, Pastor, I just want the Holy Spirit. We don't need to spend so much time talking about the Word of God. We just need the Holy Ghost. Well, guess what? If the eunuch doesn't have that from Ethiopia, he doesn't have the scripture, Philip is not able to preach Jesus to him. He has no reference point, and the eunuch doesn't get saved. He doesn't get baptized in water. Now, we love the part about Star Trek, beam me up, Philip. You know, he was here and he's gone. He's in another city. We want that part. But how many know if we're going to have the book of Acts, we got to have both the Spirit. That's good. And the Word. You got to have the Spirit and the Word. Chapter 8, verse 4. We'll look at this verse. Those who had been scattered preached the Word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs... They heard Philip, they saw the signs, they heard the Word, they saw the demonstration of the Spirit, they heard the preaching of God's Word, they saw the power of God. Look at what happened. The Bible says they paid close attention to what he said, and there was great joy in that city because many people were healed. So they, listen, the nature of the kingdom is Spirit and truth. And when both of those are in operation, spiritual fruit takes place. People's lives are changed. All right, how many are with me so far? I mean, this is a little bit different style, but it's good stuff. We're laying a foundation. Now, what happens when people neglect God's Word and they only emphasize the spiritual nature of the kingdom? They only emphasize the power, but there's no foundation of understanding for the Scripture. Well, there's an illustration of that in the book of Acts as well. It happens in chapter 14. Paul and Barnabas go to this place, Lystra. Let's read it. In Lystra, there sat a man crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. Pretty cool. How many know that's the power of God? Right? When the crowd, what? Saw what Paul had done, they shouted in Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Okay, these guys had no knowledge of the Word of God. They're a bunch of pagans. They see the power of God, and their first thing to do is they're going to start sacrificing to Paul and Barnabas. They're saying, Barnabas is Zeus, Paul is Hermes, we're going to sacrifice to them. It got so bad that Paul and Barnabas had to rush and say, "Dude, stop, we're not gods, we're flesh and blood just like you." But how many know the rest of the story is they turned on him and tried to kill him. But, you know, hey, you need the Word of God, right? Now, what I'm trying to show you from this story is that when we have the power of God, but we don't have the Word of God, it leads to error, idolatry, and confusion. You see, the reaction of these folks in Lystra is the same reaction that people still have today when there is the supernatural power of God, but there's no truth of God to balance it out. They start worshiping people. You start idolizing folks. That explains a lot of stuff when you think about it. There will always be error when we de-emphasize the Word of God. There will always be confusion when we don't emphasize the knowledge of the truth. How do you explain people with strong personalities who are still in public ministry though their lifestyle is counter to the Word of God. Because they have these spiritual gifts, they have these flamboyant personalities, and they have this history of being able to walk in the power of the Spirit, and yet they don't walk according to Scripture, and yet they still have a place of ministry, and people want to hear them. You don't know why? Because people love the Spirit. They just don't want to mess with the Word of God. It doesn't matter. His lifestyle doesn't measure up to the Word of God. He's got the power of the Spirit, so I'm going there. Are you hearing me? This is relevant to our day and age. One of the most recent examples of this, many of you may have heard of the Lakeland Revival in Lakeland, Florida. It began in April of 2008. Todd Bentley was the leader of that revival and evangelist. And over a period of several months, 400,000 people from 100 different nations had visited Lakeland, Florida for one of their services. More than 1 million people had listened online to some form of service or watched online. Now, that just goes to show you how hungry people are for the supernatural. Doesn't it? People will come all over the world to see the power of God. That's why we need the power of God. Now, the problem happens because I'm not speaking against the revival, because there were many reports of changed lives, supernatural conversions, miracles that took place. I know people personally that just were incredibly touched by those services down there. The problem was there began to be these stories come out about how many of the services had no preaching, no teaching at all. And as a result, they began to drift into doctrinal error. And there was a lack of accountability in many parts of the revival. And right toward the end of the revival, the leader of the revival left his wife and kids and married another lady. And many, many, many reports of the leader abusing alcohol. Now, I'm not here to say everything that happened in the revival is bad. What I'm trying to tell you is this: listen, if we don't have the Word to balance the Spirit, we'll get into trouble. Some of you are saying, Pastor, that's exactly why I love the Word of God. I just don't need His Holy Spirit stuff. See, that kind of stuff happens? Look at that dude. He looks like a freak. You know, I just want to come to church. You know, I just want to sing my songs off the wall. Prefer a hymnal. You know, and I want church to start on time. I want church to end on time. I just want it that way, Pastor. The Word, the Word, the Word. Sola Scriptura. I want the Word. Okay, let's have it your way at Burger King. And let's go back through the book of Acts. Let's have it your way. Let's de-emphasize the Spirit. Let's de-emphasize the Holy Spirit, the supernatural, the miracles, okay? And let's see what happens. Let's start in chapter 2, okay? This is the part of, we read this earlier. Let's start with verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. How many know that's fairly supernatural? Let me read verse 5. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together. Okay? Why did the multitude come together? It wasn't because of the preaching of the Word. The preaching of the Word hadn't happened yet till later in the chapter when Peter stood up to preach the Word. Why did the multitude come together? Because they heard the sounds of people speaking in other languages that they had not learned. It wasn't because of their slick marketing strategy, their great graphics and logos, their free public advertisements. No, the Bible says they came together because the power of God was present. Right? Now, if there's no miraculous outpouring, no supernatural demonstration of God's power, there is no crowd to hear Peter's message. Peter can preach all day from Joel and David in the Old Testament, but there's nobody going to be cut to the heart because there's nobody there. The Spirit drew them, the Word, let's put it this way. The power of the Spirit draws men and women to see. Peter then preaches to them the Word of God, and many people were saved. That's how it works. Now let's go to chapter 3. Chapter 3 is a great story. You never learn so much in one service in church in your life, okay? Chapter 3, And by the way, if you haven't read the book of Acts lately, this is your assignment this week. Go ahead and read this and just let the Holy Spirit stir your heart up about these two issues of the Spirit and the Word. Chapter 3 is the story of the lame man at the temple gate getting healed. Remember, Peter and John are going to the temple at the hour of prayer. They see the lame man sitting beside the gate. And Peter looks at him and says, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up and walk, man." Well, that guy was crazy enough to actually believe him, so he did. He gets up and he starts walking. Pretty notable miracle. Power of God. Verse 11. "Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed." Now, oh, by the way, the rest of the story, Peter preaches a sermon, and this time 5,000 folks get saved. You may not want to go to Stephen's preaching class. You might want to go to Peter's, okay? 3,000 get saved the first time. 5,000 get saved the second sermon. I haven't had nearly those results yet. Still praying about that. Now, if there is no miracle, if there is no lame man getting healed, there is no 5,000 people getting saved, because the Bible says they ran together because they saw the miracle that took place in their lives. What brought them together? The power of God. What got them saved? The Word of God. Anybody seeing why we need to be filled with the Spirit? Okay. Chapter 5, let's look at verse 12. "And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women." Now listen, you begin to see a pattern here in the book of Acts, that the purpose of the power of the Spirit is to draw men and women to Christ so that they can be saved. And we're laying a foundation for the rest of these 50 days. I want you to get this. The purpose of the power of the Spirit is to draw men and women to Jesus so that they might hear the Word and be saved. The purpose of this emphasis of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the person and power of the Spirit, is so that we might be filled with the Spirit. Other people will be drawn to Christ through us and through our church, that they might hear the Word of God and be saved. Chapter 9, verse 32. "It came to pass, as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. There he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, 'Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed.' Then he arose immediately. So all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord." But I don't want the supernatural. I don't want something out of my comfort zone. I don't want the power of God. Well, guess what? If Aeneas doesn't get healed, all the people didn't see anything and they don't turn their hearts to the Lord. Because if you leave out the power of God, you leave out the whole gospel. So, how does all of this come together? Well, there's a story in Acts chapter 10 that shows what happens when the Word and the Spirit are together. It's a great story. It's the story of Cornelius and Peter. Okay? Now, I'm not going to take time to read the whole chapter, so let me sum up. It starts out with Cornelius, who is not a Jew. He's a Gentile, centurion, and he is fasting and praying. While he's fasting and praying, an angel comes to visit him. Okay? And he says, "There's a dude named Peter staying at Simon's house. Send some people there." Okay? Okay, other side of the story. Here's Peter. He's staying at Simon's house. He's on top of the roof. He is also fasting and praying. Now, while he's fasting and praying, he sees this vision from heaven. Sounds like a pattern. That if I fast and pray, I get revelation from God. One of the reasons I'm challenging you to give one meal a week to fast and pray during this series is so that you understand that the Holy Spirit is not just about having the right information. It's about experiencing a transformation, a revelation from God. That was a great place for you to shut me down. So Cornelius is praying and fasting. Peter's praying and fasting. As a result, their lives come together. Peter goes to Cornelius' house. And what does Peter do? Peter said, "Dude, an angel told me to come see you." Cornelius said, "An angel told me to come get you." Okay? So we got a divine appointment. And what does Peter do? Peter begins to preach Jesus. All the things that Jesus began to do and teach. Now look at this in verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Now this story is really the epitome of the book of Acts and the heart of what I'm saying here today, the Spirit and the Word. Because these divine miracles caused by fasting and prayer caused the two to come together. Peter preaches the Word. He doesn't preach a bunch of stories. He doesn't preach his opinion. He preaches the Word. There is a growing deficit of preaching the Word of God in churches today. It's the Word of God that causes faith to rise so that we can receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. You don't need a self-help message when you come to church. You don't need 7 steps to happiness, whatever, unless it's based out of this book. Peter preaches the Word of God according to Jesus, and as a result, the Spirit falls in a supernatural way in Cornelius. Now, what am I trying to tell you? That is the nature of the kingdom. That is the heart of what Jesus wants us to be as a church and as individuals. The Word and the Spirit. We are not a church of the Word. We are not a church of the Spirit. We are a church of the Spirit and the Word. That's our heart. That's our goal. That's what we want. Now, I'm just going to tell you straight up right now. In the days that you and I live, we are going to see and hear crazy things. Amen. You know, and many of them will be in the name of Christianity. Many of them will be happening in church. But if you know the Word of God, you'll say, dude, I ain't going nowhere near you. Because I know what the Scripture says about this, that, and the other. Okay, and there's going to be plenty of folks who are just, you know, these types of thinkers, the word, Pastor, I don't want any supernatural. You know what? And they're going to miss everything that God has for them.
That's right.
In the days that you and I live in, Joel said he's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. But he also says there's going to be a famine of the preaching of the Word of God. Our goal as a church, my goal as a person, my goal for you as your pastor, is that we will be filled with the Spirit and we will love the Word of God. And you know what will happen is we'll have the same results as the book of Acts. People will find Jesus. People will be saved. People will be healed. People will be delivered, and good stuff's going to happen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Can I tell you that every bad experience anyone has ever had with the baptism of the Holy Spirit or gifts of the Spirit can be traced to a lack of balance in one of these two areas? Every negative experience that you've ever had, Pentecostalism, anything like that, is because there was a lack of balance in one of these two areas. Now, I want to tell you, listen, our goal in this church, this is going to sound weird to some of you, but I want you to hear me out. Our goal in this church is not to get you to speak in tongues. Some of you are very afraid of that. Pastor, you just want me to speak in tongues, don't you? You want me to be one of those people. No. My goal is not to get you to speak in tongues. My goal is for you to be filled with the Spirit of God. And whatever comes with it, you're going to be okay with. Are you hearing me? We've got all this focus on stuff we don't understand. Let's focus on what we do understand. Being filled with the Spirit of God. Because if it's in the book, you want it. Right? If it's not in the book, stay away from it. But if this book says it, I want to walk in the power of the Spirit. I hope you're catching a vision for what God wants to do, not just in your life, but in our church. But I want you to understand that several folks have said to me this week, Pastor, I've never heard anything like this before. I don't know if to say good or bad. I don't know. But it's the only way I know how to do this. This book is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And this Holy Spirit is the power of God that I need to walk with Him every day. They're not opposed to each other. They are designed, because of the nature of the kingdom, for us to be together. Amen? Stand with me if you would. Welcome, Holy Spirit. We are in your presence. Fill us with your power. Live inside of me. Welcome, Holy Spirit. We are in your presence. Fill us with your power. Live inside of me. Would you raise your hands? Welcome, Holy Spirit. We are in your presence. Fill us with your power. Live inside of me. Reading through the book of Acts provokes us, doesn't it? That the God that we serve is a God of miracles. God of power. And nowhere in this book does it say that those things have ceased. Peter said, this is that. And he says, in the last days I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. He never said, this is that until the year AD 57. He says, this is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. And for all who the Lord our God will call. You know what that means? That God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God healed and did miracles in the book of Acts, he can do it right here today. I want to invite our small group leaders, our pastors, elders, and their spouses to come and join us up front here today. What we want to do as we end this service is we want to pray for you. We want to pray for miracles. We want to agree with you in prayer for God's power to be demonstrated in your life. So if you are here today and you say, Pastor, I got a need in my life. I need a miracle. I need help from heaven. A miracle of finances, a miracle of healing, a miracle of restoration of relationships, a worry, a fear. Guess what? The Holy Spirit is your helper. And we're going to come together right now and we're going to ask God's Holy Spirit to move miraculously in your life. Now, this, I'm not going to have a formal dismissal of the service. So after I invite people to come forward and pray, you can feel free to leave if you wish. Don't forget to take your candy. Somebody told me, said, Pastor, you're taking awful big chance, chocolate and the Holy Spirit on the same day. But we're so glad that you came. If you have a need here today and you'd like us to pray with you, would you step out of your seat right now and come and find one of these leaders of the church, and they're going to agree with you in prayer. Just go ahead and come right now. And we're just going to come and pray with you and believe God on your behalf. God bless you as you come for your family, for your future, for wisdom from the Holy Spirit. Let's agree together for the next few minutes. Praise God. These altars will remain open. God bless you. If you need to leave, have a great day in the Lord. We love you.